There are so many things follow. So the other things are nipatti. But the seeing itself, just one moment.
I never quite got the definition of the difference between the two of them.
Just how come to see, arise and see? The seeing is conditioned by karma, but the other citta also, vipaka, the result of karma as well.
Yes.
But they do not appear. For example, the seeing has fallen away. It is followed by another vipaka, sampatichanna, but who knows? So this talk about the way it appears in life, like if there is no seeing, no hearing, no smelling, no touching at all, there would be nothing for
that's
it.
Right, yes.
That's why nobody can stop the arising of the seeing and hearing because it's conditioned by
that,
karma.
I understand that, but I don't understand
so the difference
the
between what is important now. Without seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching at all, there's nothing.
Right.
No body, no one at all, no thing, no thinking of anything else. So this is the point how important everything comes from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting,
right.
touching.
Okay, I understand
so
that.
Only this sen upatti, because you cannot stop the way karma produces results.
Okay, so those things are considered upatti.
Upatti, and the
okay,
rest
and nipata is
follows the seeing, hearing, smelling.
Okay, everything else. So what's the point of using these terms to make this distinction?
To see that they are different from other moments.
Yes.
Even just one moment. Yeah. So.
Okay. Is the point, without seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there wouldn't be
thinking
samsara. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be anything.
But the way it is, but the way it's different.
Because even apparently even patisandhi citta is nipati. Every other citta is nipati.
Can this patisandhi citta see anything?
No.
So.
But there wouldn't be patisandhi citta if there was no past seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
Right, but without seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
There wouldn't be anything.
Right? Yeah.
Is that the meaning? And also now, we're thinking based on seeing, hearing, smelling,
everything. The world. It's just see that it makes the difference between vipaka, like seeing, hearing, that is different from other vipaka, because the sampatichanna is not known, santirana is not known, other vipaka cannot be known, like patisanticitta cannot be known. But seeing now, it sees. Yeah.
And also, sampatichanna, santirana follows.
Right.
So that's also.
And the upatti means that no one can stop its way. It has to arise when it's time for karma to produce results. There must be seeing right now.
It's like the understanding that we're born to experience the fruits of karma.
But I think that that's not important at all. The importance is understanding that there's no self at all.
Yes, isn't it? That's what everything we listen to, that's what it leads to in the beginning, the firmness in understanding that there is no self.
Well, usually that must be the idea of self all the time, very deeply rooted.
No matter what we listen, that's the result, that there is no self.
That is the right way to understand Dhamma right now.
That there's just nature.
Right,
Dhamma,
right.
Not self.
Mm-hmm.
But not, or law of nature. But not law, we don't like law so much, right? Nature is better. But that's it, right? Nature means there's no self.
The way it is, yeah.
Just the way it is, yeah.
I'd like to ask you, did you ever, before coming here, ever hear about no self in this way? The meaning of no self?
No self.
No.
No self.
Do you think that if we don't understand, have any idea about no self, that it's possible to understand the Dhamma?
Even the self is not known, it's me, that's all. And this person and that person and things all around, not understanding that it's the self. It's a rose self.
Why nothing not? Is self. Mm-hmm. Nothing is self.
Why did you ask that question?
Because people think that the idea of self is only for human beings.
Right.
Yeah. So we take a rose as being something special or something permanent.
And that is Atthanutiti.
It's still
And this is Sakkayatiti.
I see. Okay.
Sakkayatiti and what's
Atta.
Atta Nutiti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
The other things beside this are Atthanutiti.
What does Sakkaya?
It's me, it's mine.
And Atta? What does Atta?
Atta is a thing.
A thing, a thing.
So this is a thing, Atthanutiti, for every other people. But for me, it is Sakkaya, me. This is me. And the other thing, no matter flowers or
person,
person it's Atta.
Right.
Something, but not me.
So she's talking about the wrong idea of seeing things and persons.
Where Sakkaya
is so
idea
how
persons
how
and
other
no not only person it's me my own
that it belongs to me
That for me that is Atthanutiti, and this is Sakkaya. And for you, this is Atthanutiti, and the body there and seeing there are Sakkaya.
But Achan, isn't there sometimes even what we take for our body can also sometimes just be Atthanutiti? For example, if a hair comes in front...
Do you cling? As me and not you?
No, but something. Say my hair comes on in front of my glasses and I say, oh, something.
It's your hair
it's
before.
My hair.
That's afterwards. That, but before there's
from,
just something.
From birth, it's me.
But before I think it's my hair, it's just something.
But it's yours, not the other.
Yeah, but once you thought about it, then it's yours.
That's why in Tipitaka, Atthanutiti 20 and Sakkayatiti also 20. Exactly the same. The difference is that the other is not me, but this is me.
I am seeing, I am hearing.
And before that, no matter any time, it's always me.
Right.
Not just only when I'm going to ask. Now I'm seeing.
Right.
Talking about Atta Nidditi, we talked about roses. I find it helpful to think about kalapas as well, and the fact that kalapas so tiny, there's spaces between, and they also... Because rupa, they also instantly fall away. So when we're seeing a rose, knowing about the kalapas, no, there's really, it's so impermanent and so
it's
on.
Good to have such interest and firm understanding because the kalapa can be directly experienced. When it's the second vipassana, the third vipassana,
yeah. Okay, that's something.
But if there's no such firm understanding, it's impossible.
So knowing about the kalapas is very useful in this way.
Mm-hmm. Because if there is no understanding of the succession of the reality arising and falling away, there is no idea for sati to develop and panya to develop. Okay. So that's why the priyati, when it's so firm, it is satyana, and it can condition moment unexpected, like Sariputta, unexpectedly. So it depends on understanding and no expectation for the realization of Arya Satya. But without that, impossible. It's impossible to have the vipassana.
So that pariyati, those details of pariyati, help to be the basis for future
to understand and see that actually there's no self.
Yes.
But the self is there, very deeply rooted. So even so, there must be some moments, or rather moments, many, many moments thinking about that. So the understanding just pop up. So another word in Pali, pop up, it is... yeah, another word for it in Pali, panya, just pop up. Anytime, like now. Now there is thinking popping up, but no one knows the moment when it pop up. Right? But when it's vipassayana, the reality appears so well, and when whatever pops up, it knows that there must be condition for arising. Now we're talking just about everything is conditioned to arise, but nothing appears one by one.
But in vipassayana it appears clearly.
As Buddha said, exactly, each word.
But Acharya, the meaning of kalapas is not so much that they are very small.
But yes, but panya can experience.
But panya doesn't... It's a panya that no kalapas, no, for example, hardness.
Why not?
Hardness conditioned by heat, and heat is conditioned by...
Does the feeling has kalapa? Does feeling also have kalapa?
No. Feeling?
Everything is nimitta now.
Feeling have kalapa.
But not like rupa. Rupa is used for kalapa,
yes,
but many kalapas rising, falling away, and now any kind of feeling which appear arises and fall away. So it can appear such and such feeling.
Right, but even we talk about satipatthana, the understanding the nature, the characteristic of the object. So when we talk about kalapa, we're not saying that how small it is, we're just saying that earth element hardness is conditioned by heat, by other Mahabhuta rupas.
Does it arise and fall away?
It arises.
Can it,
it's just the understanding.
But can, as it is like that, and there is understanding that way, can that appear more apparent?
Clear. It can appear, but I believe it's not like just one kalapa, but it's...
We talk, but we use the word kalapa for rupa, and what word would we use for nama? As like kalapa, but we don't have any word to use for its arising.
So
it's
you're
one
saying
by one.
That if the understanding of nama can be in terms of one nama, so can rupa...
No,
rupa
no. Even when take it for one, it's the nimitta.
It's the nimitta, right.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter whether one is experienced, because it's understanding.
Impossible.
Yeah, we can't experience one kalapa.
Mm.
But, but nevertheless, knowing that what we take for a rose comprises trillions of kalapas arising
that,
and falling.
That's what I'm questioning. Is that the kind of understanding?
It's theoretical.
And the nama is much quicker than that. More kalapa, if you don't use the word of like vedana or sanya right now. Because the rupa is coarser than the nama to be known.
But
like
still,
now.
Even when it's nama, it's not thinking
one.
About many, many. It's just thinking about the characteristic of...
Which appear as nimitta.
Whether, how many, nobody counting. So say with kalapa, it's not like it knows that many, many. It just knows that it's one kind of rupa conditioned by other kinds of rupa.
But not one. That's why we use the word kalapa. See, eight at least, but many, many unit.
Meaning eight rupa minimum in each kalapa.
Yeah.
Maybe we can explain, Akhil, what kalapa means.
Taking something like a rose, according to Theravada theory, there are actually trillions and billions of kalapa that make up what we think of as a rose. It sounds a little bit like atomic theory, except that these kalapas instantly fall away and re-arise again due to temperature. We think this rose lasts, but actually it's almost nothing. It's just these kalapas arising and falling.
Kalapa.
And kalapa is, it's a group of rupa which includes motion, heat, water, water's not the right word, what's the word? Cohesion that makes up each kalapa. Okay, so yeah, it's like a very sophisticated atomic theory, basically.
And why do we see the same kalapa?
Why
does it appear the same?
Why does it appear the same?
We each see this red rose, you mean? Yeah, because each kalapa is different from the others. So the kalapas that make up this orange, the intensity is slightly different from the kalapas that make up the rose. So therefore, the one of the rupa in the kalapa is colour. So the colour will be more... there'll be a variable there that will make it orange or make it red, make it appear orange or red. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why you don't think this is a rose, you know it's an orange. And but everyone does.
I mean, yeah, so
why is the rose seen as a rose and not suddenly as an orange? Is that what you mean?
And each of us sees that same rose.
Yeah, yeah, because this is the reality. These kalapas that make up this orange are realities. So even though orange is a concept, behind the concept, or as the there are actual kalapas that are real. Even though they're tiny, and even though they're falling away instantly, they are real. And that's the difference between reality and concept. Yeah? It's kind of a crucial distinction. And that's why I love Ajahn's books, Concepts and Reality, which describes.
And even rupas, they're conditioned by each other. The heat element, as your father was referring to, determines the color, the harden, even the other arisen rupas, the nature of that rupa. So in the case of an orange, why it appears to be an orange and continues to be an orange, because of those elements, they condition each other in the same way, more or less, right? And in a rose, the same way.
And 2 weeks later, if this orange was left here, the colour will be slightly different. Even though it's changing instantly, we can't see those instant changes. But over a period of a week or a month, we can see that, yeah, there has been big changes. But actually, it's happening much faster than we realise. So the Dharma's reality and concept agree. And that's why I like in the Abhidharmata Sangaha, it says the concept is the shadow of the realities. We always look at the shadows, but the Dharma gets us into the actual realities.
You see only shadow. What conditioned the kalapa?
In the rose?
Anywhere. Anything.
There's four conditions, possible conditions.
But what condition is there?
What are they?
There's chitta.
Chitta cannot condition.
Well, for that one, it's only
heat.
Temperature.
So the temperature condition each kalapa.
Yeah. In rupa only, yeah.
And what about each of the Mahabhuta rupas, say, different intensities of water element also conditioning the other rupas in the kalapa?
When it's separated, just one, conditioned by Utu.
For example, let's say something with low cohesion, low water element, very soon it'll disintegrate.
By Utu.
By Utu.
Mm-hmm. I remember, Ajahn, once you said, if we look at the material world, like all the... rupa we see, like oranges, bananas, and so on and so forth, we see so much variety. And that's only Tiju as the condition, but when you think about Chitta, there's so many more conditions for Chitta, so how much more varied must be Chitta than even rupa?
No one in this room will think the same of the same orange, right?
We see the same orange, but we think
about
it.
Slightly.
So this kalapa is for the forms or for the...
It's for form. It's rupa. Rupa.
Yeah.
And what about the sound and light?
They're also rupa. They're all rupa.
Yes.
They're 28 rupas.
Sound is one of the rupas in a kalapa, in some kalapas.
No, sir. It's having the structure. Sound so and so light is not having any structures.
If the hardness cannot come, bang, like this, there cannot be so sound.
Not every kalapa, but some kalapa.
Yeah. It condition the new kalapa, which is sound.
And each time there's sound, there must be other rupas arising with it. Although sound is only heard by hearing, and what's seen is visible object.
Exactly.
Right? But when sound is heard, nothing is seen, nothing is touched, nothing is missing. But if there's what's seen, there's no hardness, no softness at that being experienced, but they're there. So same with sound. When it's heard, the other rupas are there also.
And the kalapa, there's eight other rupas that are present, as well as the sound, even though the sound is experienced.
The forms contains the n numbers of kalapas.
No, kalapas refer to rupas that arise in a group. Must arise in
that
a group.
That is a form.
Like chitta arises with chetasikas.
Exactly, sir.
Like seeing has to rise with at least seven chetasikas all the time. Has to rise every time with seven chetasikas. So same with rupas. There are rupas.
You have to rise with kalapas.
No. Rupas are kalapas.
Rupas are kalapas.
Each rupa is conditioned by other rupas. Like the earth element is conditioned by the heat element, and the heat, they must arise together. There cannot be earth element without water element or heat element or the wind element. These are the four primary rupas. And they must rise with four other rupas for sure. One is taste, one
touch,
is smell,
touch.
One is visible object, and one is nutritive essence. So we can see that every rupa does not arise alone.
It has to combine with others.
It has to, yes. That's why they're called conditioned realities. That's why chitta, chetasika are conditioned realities, and rupa is also a conditioned realities. You can't have visible alone. When visible has arisen, you can understand that there are, together it arose with other rupas also. Same with hardness. If there's the experience of hardness, you know that at that moment, there would be other rupas also, but they're not appearing, because what's appearing through the body door can only be one of the three, and one at a time only.
Got it.
Does it help?
Yes, sir.
But then it helps to break down the idea of solidity, yeah? Because we think things are so solid and real, but they're not that real and not that solid. They're very impermanent, very almost nothing, but they are real. Yeah. They're very evanescent.
Sir, these kalapas make the sense of the... It's not an object, it's a kalapas. It's rupa, it's kalapas. Lot of n numbers of kalapas.
Yes.
We touch, we feel hardness, softness. Sir, hardness and softness are the senses.
Like seeing, experiences visible object. Hearing hears sound. Touch touches hardness, softness. Touch touches heat or cold. Touch motion or pressure. So the touch is the chitta. The object with hardness, softness is not the chitta, it's the rupa that's being experienced. Same as sound is the rupa which is heard. The hardness is a rupa that's being touched. What is seen is?
Seeing is an object, sir, a form.
What seen? A visible object.
Right. Can you touch a jam?
Can you touch the sofa?
Can you touch the sofa?
There's no sofa, sir.
But there is hardness or softness.
There's hardness, softness.
Temperature.
Can you see chitta?
Chitta can't be seen.
Can you see sound? Can you see hardness?
No.
Can you see Betty?
Betty.
That is real, sir.
Arising and falling away all the time.
So then understanding this in theory, then what does that achieve?
This morning we talked about that.
Oh, okay. Right. This is what I'm always asked by my boyfriend. He understands this, but does he really?
Is it your question?
As well, because I don't think I can explain that well enough.
What is the question?
Try and explain it.
Try. What is the question?
It's a very big question.
So understanding, you know, about the cittas and what everything arises and falls and, you know,
concept and
they're
reality.
All concept and realities. Then, so we understand it in theory. What does that achieve?
What's the benefit?
Yeah. And so,
For someone who actually understands.
Yes. Yeah.
He sees nothing more valuable.
Right.
Yes, so there's no question about what next.
Right.
He's inclined to want to hear again and again.
Okay,
but what's the benefit? Okay.
The
question usually arises, what's next is that for someone who just knows in paper but has not actually had the understanding that we call pariyati yet, he just knows that what we talk here is a lot of words, and that's what we end up doing, just talking and talking and talking and nothing is achieved.
Roxanne.
Yes.
Any art, which I'm sure you've accomplished in some or something, you have to know the theory.
Yes.
If you want to be a great musician.
Yeah, so that it's a little bit different.
It's not really. No, it's not really. It's not different in the sense that the more sophisticated your knowledge of any art or any skill is, the better will be your understanding further down the track. Yes. So there have to be support conditions to facilitate, in the case of the Dhamma, there have to be support conditions. And part of those support conditions, and we're still very enough to have people like Ajahn around us, to help us sort out these different theories and ideas and knowledges that will facilitate the understanding. And the more we consider and think about these in a constructive way, the more it can help with understanding. So theory, or what we call pariyatti, that's part of pariyatti, although that's misunderstood too. It's not just theory, it's theory that needs to be applied. If it's theory just for theory, and there are many people who understand or have read a lot about theory, and they might have read the suttas, they might have read the Abhidhamma, but it's possible still to misunderstand the Dhamma. Sorry, now you're going to ask a question here.
Yeah, so I understand that, and so it's more about in the terms of Dhamma. So understanding this, that nothing is permanent, nothing is real in their rupas. So how does that help in terms of Dhamma?
You're asking how it helps.
Yes. So
the knowledge, the understanding, how an understanding helps.
Yes. So how does that further my understanding? Yes.
But is there anything more valuable than just understanding?
How does that further the understanding directly?
Directly to say such reach Nibbana.
Because Dhamma is now. Because one of the understanding that you understand intellectually is that it's now, right here, right now. There's only Dhamma. And what Sundara was pointing to as when you learn an art, it's something, I was just thinking about learning the piano. Someone who just learns the piano is not talking about where will this lead. He just continues to learn, right?
Right.
He just continues because he sees the value of learning.
Okay, so, I like that. Yeah. Yes, I like that example. There's no ultimate, maybe there is, but that's, okay, I understand that concept and I like that. Thank you.
I think, Achan, it's the lack of panya, attachment and ignorance which drives us to... I mean, I know the Buddha was the Buddha. He knew exactly the accumulations of the person he's about to teach. And you, on the other hand, you know that you don't know, but you know what best to say to the other person. Whereas the rest of us, we get lost in our own agendas sometimes. We want to convince a relative, a family member, and we try so hard in the wrong way. Or even if in a discussion group, it's just that we just don't have that enough understanding.
When you hear that there is a person who understands everything, would you like to know what he understands?
I guess I would like to know.
So this is a point that we'd like to understand what Buddha enlightened. Because no one can use the term enlightened or enlightenment at all. It means knowing the truth. And we don't know what the truth is. The truth of what? So those who have condition to see the value of understanding that can be understood, that can be studied, find out who can help one to understand the truth. And consider by yourself, after you hear his talk, whether it's true or not, that which nobody have heard before.
And I also wonder, such as I have two other siblings, an older sister and a younger brother, and we were, all three of us, you know, we have the same father, and he has taught us, let's say, the same thing. And I wonder why I am more interested, or I want to learn more. And that difference of why do they feel the way they feel, is that because of conditions from my, possibly my past, my accumulations? Yeah.
What do you think that is? Why is Roxanne more interested?
Because you are you. See, but you don't know who is,
right.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't know my accumulations. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other has no interest in understanding about everything, like people and things all around. But if you can understand, you don't miss the opportunity to understand.
So, when you earlier asked Roxanne that if you hear that there's someone who understands everything, who knows everything.
The Buddha. I mean the Buddha.
Yes. Would you be interested in listening to him?
Roxanne said, run to him.
Huh? And Roxanne said yes. And I was thinking many would say yes, but there are people who, when they hear, won't be interested.
Because they don't think about the truth of what is said.
Also, sometimes it's going to depend on many different variables. Like, I think of Visakha. One time she went to live, when she was married, she went to live. Visakha was a very famous lay disciple in the Buddhist time. And she went to live with her new husband and her father-in-law. And one day, and he was not a believer. One day a monk came around visiting that place where she lived, and her father-in-law, Meghara, was eating some food, and he just ignored the monk, or the bhikkhu. And Visakha, when she noticed that the father-in-law was just ignoring the bhikkhu, she said to the bhikkhu, move on, sir. My father-in-law is eating stale food. Food that's stale. And the father-in-law was very upset and angry that he had been accused of eating old food. But she then eventually was able to explain to him that what he was eating was a result of past deeds. Past good deeds. And he subsequently went along to hear the Buddha, and he became enlightened. The father-in-law became enlightened, Meghara, and he was so grateful that he heard the Buddha, and he having become enlightened. So we don't know, like you mentioned, your siblings. It's not maybe the conditions at the moment for them to truly appreciate the Dhamma in this life. Who knows? Because sometimes the conditions are very complex. and very delicate. So it's hard to say. If you have an opportunity in this life to listen to Dhamma, I would always say to people, sometimes I share it with them, sometimes I know I don't see anything because I know I have a feeling they're not going to be interested. They're captured by other things that are taking their interest and they want to travel or go here and there. And we do have to be sometimes discriminating with who we share the Dhamma with, because not everyone will be interested. But sometimes, when there are the right conditions, amazing things can happen. And even people in the Buddhist time, there are many, many examples of lay people, thousands, who became enlightened just by hearing one or two words, because of their past accumulations. And sometimes even people who were drunk, literally drunk, when they heard a few words, they became enlightened. This seems amazing, but because of conditions, and these are so intricate and complicated sometimes. So I would always say, maybe not now, but maybe another time, that these things can happen. You know, Dhamma is fascinating in that way. When you read the scriptures, you'll see, that's amazing. But you'll also begin to appreciate that that's possible. Given the right conditions, anything is possible. Anything. And the most amazing thing, especially when it comes to Dhamma, amazing things happen.
And sometimes it can also be Kama Chantha, which is an obstacle. Some people here appreciate a little bit, but then attachment to sense objects take them away. That's also possible, isn't it? And I was thinking maybe Robert's style of expressing Dhamma suitable for Roxanne but not for the other kids. Maybe Sundara's style may be suitable for
her. I always think that you're very, very fortunate to have a father who values Dhamma. That's a great, wonderful thing.
Yes.
Wonderful thing. If we know somebody, if we have a, like I think sometimes Khunsu Khyen, he also has a son who is interested in Dhamma. I think, oh, wow. Well, it would have been wonderful to have a father who truly valued Dhamma. Because, as we know, we've talked about this many times, what we hear of, what we're taught often, is just a lot of nonsense. Mostly we're taught a lot of nonsense sometimes. Parents try to be helpful, and they try to give their best, but sometimes they may not be so helpful. And sometimes that's all going to depend on karma and many other variables. But to have a father who understands and appreciates Dhamma, you are very, very blessed. I would say you're very, very fortunate.
It's my accumulation.
Well, partly. Partly.
Yes.
It's very hard, but I would always say to people, we all know that for a cohesive and healthy society, we need to be more patient and concerned and respectful of each other. And even knowing and appreciating that at that level, we know the value of kusala. So little by little, it's always our thing, a little by little thing.
Exactly.
Actually, when we talk about having respect for other people, isn't that a reference to good qualities? Respect for good qualities in the other person?
Yes, because you respect the kusala.
We don't just respect anyone for anything. I mean, why would we respect someone who has wrong view, right? But we can have kindness to everyone.
I wanted to ask a little bit about Sundara. Just now he mentioned about getting enlightened while being drunk. But was he drunk in that moment or?
No.
Sankanti, the minister. Yeah, but he was not drunk at the moment.
What happened?
Nobody is 100% drunk.
No, it's not quite.
Right? When they're sick, there's no drunk.
What happened was he quelled a rebellion. He was the minister of war. So the king rewarded him. So with his rewards, he went out with many consorts for a week, drinking with all these women. And he was completely drunk. But then he, upon seeing the Buddha,
the alcohol
Yeah, he was so impressed, I guess. The alcohol immediately evaporated, and while he was listening, he became enlightened. Yeah. So both of you are kind of right. He was completely drunk, but at the same time, when he became enlightened, all of that drunkenness was gone in that moment. So, yeah.
Without condition, there cannot be enlightenment.
I was talking to Robert during the lunch break, Ajahn, and I was talking about pisunawacha, sometimes translated as slanderous speech about other people, or malicious speech about other people. That may be, a lot of people say that it's only slander when it's untrue. If you say something about somebody behind their back, pisuna, which is a goblin who. Yeah, you say something unkind about somebody behind their back, it happens to be false, is pisuna wacha. And my understanding, even if it's true and you speak maliciously about somebody behind their back, it's still pisuna wacha.
And I was querying that because I thought if it's true, it wouldn't be a kusala kamapatha. But Sundara was saying.
But what is the result of saying so?
Well, if someone gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is it?
Is to get hurt.
Yeah, it's probably. So even if it's true and you're talking behind their back with the intention to be hurtful, is it then a kusala kamapatha, even if it's true?
Because there must be some intention to say so.
Yes, you're deliberately hurting.
When it's kusala, it cannot speak.
No, obviously it's akusala. Mm-hmm. I know it's akusala, but I'm thinking, is it
an intention?
But is it a kusala kamapatha?
To hurt the other.
Yes.
And it's spoken.
Yes.
Already.
So it's to that level, even if it's true.
And nobody can know exactly the kamma.
It can be. It could be a kusala kamapatha. Mm-hmm. Okay. You were right, Sundara. Thank you. Lucky you brought that up.
I'm trying to remember now the context and where we were talking about this. Just going back before. We were talking about speech during our lunch break about why speech in the case of somebody, like when you spread rumours about a certain, say, religious belief, even though it's not lying, it might not be pisuna wacha, it might not be parusa wacha, but it might be sampapalapa. We've talked about this before, Ajahn. When can sampapalapa be a kusala kamapatha? Have you got any examples there?
When it hurts or harms the others.
Yes, yeah. Even though it's not the other three, but something that.
Well, sampapalapa, that's harsh speech.
No, that's like frivolous talk.
Frivolous,
empty talk. Like, just say talking about people, and other people can be very offended by it.
But Ajahn, there's no intention to hurt when it's sampapalapa. It's just frivolous talk.
So in the degrees of intention.
And given the degree of intention, and if it ends up hurting, it becomes kamapatha?
When it's all the, what you call it, the five.
Factors.
Yeah. Do you mind much about that?
No.
Well, not knowing about it,
no, just for yourself not to do like that again?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Because knowing the seriousness of doing such a thing might restrain
but
you in the future.
What is better?
What's better?
Than just thinking about that and try to gain something from understanding for yourself.
Okay.
To understand reality as uncontrollable.
Of course, that's the best, yes.
And it's always now, John. Isn't it? All that we talk about is kusala, akusala, but when is it? It's not just story.
So when you read Tipitaka or listen to the word of Dhamma, what's the intention at that moment?
Just to understand more about my life.
About yourself?
Hmm.
So it's you who are listening?
Not really, I mean, it's...
But if you understand that exactly there's no one at all, then it is the best way to listen to the Dhamma, to understand, no matter what words Buddha said, it's about non-self, no one.
Now, what I'm trying to point out now is that
For example,
we have a story about what is kusala deed, what is akusala deed, but if you don't know that quality of the chitta when it appears, kusla when it appears, akusla when it appears, then it's useless. Then it's bound to be the idea of self who wants to do this, does this, avoids that, and it's not that helpful.
As long as there's the idea of I and the others. When we're born again and again, die again and again, all the time. Because reality is very difficult to understand. Even it appears, and even listening to the Buddha's words, know how much it is. It's not enough, never enough. As long as there is a deeper understanding of reality as not self. Because we cling to the subject, to the story, and the way how to be better, try to be the good person for oneself. Not to go to hell, not to be born like such and such. But actually the best thing is to understand that it's a reality momentarily, very short. What about last moment? It's gone, unknowingly all the time. And it is always like this, never understand whatever appears.
Even sometimes when you say, example just now, you said, what about last moment, it's gone, and never to arise again. Even this can help.
Yeah.
Because it's understanding that it's all anatta.
Mm-hmm. Before there can be letting go, it has to be right understanding of that very moment, and the understanding itself lets go. Not the I who try to let go.
Ma'am, in India, we talk about the Mara. Mara. Understanding the Dhamma is the victory over the Mara.
Over Mara. What is Mara? How many kinds of Mara?
Ma'am, I won't be able to tell how many kinds of Mara are there, but for me, how I perceive the Mara is that if you are going to Mara sa wahi na Mara
break karta hai,
if dham ke kar ko break karta hai, like if you are going to work according to the Dhamma, any work, how we take it, and it's precepts. If the work is not complete, we say mar the condition which breaks that movement that works, we say mar doesn't want its work should be done.
What about kilesa mara?
Kilesha mara.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
In the absolute truth.
It's true.
Yeah. Kusala can be mara. Cannot hinder the wholesomeness, so wholesome moment. But anything which hinder the wholesomeness is mara. So it's your own kilesa. Nobody can do anything at all. No one can put the Buddha on the unwholesome manner because he's no kilesa. So kilesa, one's own kilesa, is mara.
It's one type of mara.
One kind
of mara.
And it's also the deva who's mara as well. Hinder the enlightenment of the Buddha. The mara came to see him and asked him to pass away, but because he doesn't want anyone to listen to the teachings anymore. That is Mara. So it depends on the reality of Mara. The akusala, the kilesa is Mara.
Okay, ma'am.
Uh-huh. In the absolute truth.
Ma'am, she is saying, suppose she is going for one work of the Dhamma. she got the accident in between. That work is not completed.
Machu Mara.
She's in because of Mara.
Because of Machu Mara.
Machu
Mara. A kind of Mara.
A kind of, yeah. This is third. One is Kalesha, Kalesh.
Kilesh Mara.
And one is...
Tepavut Mara, Teva Mara.
Deva Mara.
Even Teva can have ill intention.
And third one you told, ma'am?
Kilesha Mara. Kilesha, one's Kilesha. Own Kilesha.
Majumara. Majumara.
Majumara is death.
Is death.
Mm-hmm. If one is going to listen to the Dhamma and the accident happened and she died, Majumara. No opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. Even she intends to do.
The victory over the Mara is understanding of the Dhamma, people say in Lucknow.
And Mara can be any enemy of kusla or wholesomeness, yeah. Like one own kilesa.
Like what?
One's own kilesa. You'd like to listen to the Dhamma, but would you like to do other thing else better? See? Why do you think of Mara?
A lot of the things was today we debated here about the understanding. She arises the question, what is the use of it? All the things here. So Sukhvi sir was telling it's because that you better understand the Dhamma. Now I was thinking that what are the factors which interrupts as I want to understand the Dhamma.
Can anyone stop you?
Pardon me?
Can anyone stop you to listen?
No, ma'am. No.
Mm-hmm. So that cannot be Mara.
नहीं ऐसा नहीं हो सकता मार नहीं हो सकती
Are you Mara? Sometimes?
Yes, ma'am. If I'm not taking the right decision, it means...
Usually we think of the others, but not one own. One thinks, always thinks of the other, but not one's own. Kilesa, one's own accumulation, one's own understanding. Many people would like the other to understand Dhamma, but when that person has no interest, that person just feels bad. One's own kilesa mara. So when we talk about kilesa mara, it can be any moment of akusla.
I think that's a very good point you've made there, Ajahn, that mostly we're concerned about other people's kilesa, not our own. And certainly at the moment of being, if we're out with other people, it can seem that the other person who doesn't, the other person is the problem. And really, that can be so destructive and so unhelpful and so dishonest also that when we think it's the other person, you know, when really that's not in accordance with Dhamma. It's the more we can understand and appreciate that, we will see the disadvantages in, you know, blaming other people because really they do not cause the problem. That's a very good point.
What is dhatu, ma'am?
Dhatu?
Dhatu.
The nature of reality. The element. It means that no one can change its nature or its dhatu. Is kilesa dhatu? Dhatu is another word for Dhamma.
For Dhamma?
Yes. Each Dhamma is each dhatu. No one can change its characteristic at all. No one can change sweet into salty.
It is a nature of reality.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another way to talk about Dhamma by way of dhatu. When we talk about Dhamma, we talk about the reality, that which is real. But when we talk about dhatu, the reality which is real, nobody can change. So there are not just one word for each reality, like Dhamma, Paramada Dhamma, Abhidhamma, and Tattu. The same. Who consider more and more and more that these are all Dhamma. No one, no self at all. No one can do anything because actually there's no self. There are only different realities conditioned in a day. Is the hair Dhamma? The hair. Is it Dhamma?
Dhatu.
Yes, or Paramada Dhamma, or Abhidhamma, yes. Exactly the same. It cannot
Ma'am,
be
even that fear, it means that Abhidhamma itself is a reality?
Reality, what does it mean? That which is real is true.
Yeah.
No one can change its characteristic.
Yeah, it's a nature, it's a reality.
So many words are used for this. Dhamma, Paramada Dhamma, Abhidhamma, Tattu, the same. So anyone who doesn't understand Paramada Dhamma come across the word Tattu, they don't know what is Tattu. But when one knows that everything which arises and falls away, no matter what, whether it can experience an object or not, since it's real, it has its own characteristic, it's conditioned to arise and fall away. Everyone is Dhamma, is Tattu. So there is Chakku Tattu, the eye sense, or the eye base itself. It's not the ear base, different from that which is seen, that which is heard. Each one has its own characteristic. So no one can change it. Because it arises by conditions and falls away instantly. How can you change that, which arises and falls away in split seconds? So what is born and what dies? No one.
It's nature of realities.
Different realities.
Yeah. It can never be changed, it can't be changed.
And they can be understood too, little by little, you know, the reality which appears is another Dhatu. So there are so many different ways of classifying, you know, Dhamma, be it Dhatu or Ayatana or Patitasamuppada. There is, Dhamma is just classified in so many different ways by way of Khanda. You know, so it's just another way to help. Some people might understand Khanda better than they understand Dhatu. But as Ajahn was saying, the word Dhatu is connected with Dhamma. And the word Dhamma means that which sustains and holds. Dhar, the root is Dhar, which it means that which sustains or holds reality. So in the case of Dhatu, as Ajahn was talking about, same with the Chakku Dhatu, it is the reality that enables seeing. Without Chakku Dhatu, there wouldn't be seeing. So we can immediately apply it to our own understanding and enable the slow putting together of the Dhamma, and we can see that it's not just a word, it can be understood in relationship to Dhamma as in the bigger picture.
Man, anatta, no self.
Yes.
Anitya, impermanent.
Anicca.
Anicca. Anitya, anicca, ek hi baat hai. Same, same.
Atta is Atman. Sanskrit,
Atma.
So anatta means no atta.
No atma, ma'am.
Is it Atta?
Anatta.
This one? No. Is this Atta? Nothing is atta at all. Everything is anatta. Because atta means that which is permanent. I. See? But what's the I? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching? No, that's not I. Seeing must be only seeing. Nobody can change the characteristic of seeing which arises to see. It cannot do anything, just arise to see. A tattoo. So everything which is real is tattoo. Another word of Dhamma. And when you hear the word anatta, it must be tattoo. As everything which is real is Dhamma. Whatever is real is Dhamma, it is tattoo. The chakku tattoo, the sound, sata, tattoo. Everything which is real is tattoo. It means that actually there's no one, no being at all. Only different realities arise by conditions and follow it immediately, all the time. And that can be experienced directly. Because Buddha is the first one who has experienced the truth of everything, enlightened the truth. So he taught us to understand what is the reality of whatever we take for something. Can there be the akir tattoo?
No.
No. Can seeing be a bird, a cat, a dog? Seeing. See?
Seeing be there.
It's now. It's now. All tattoos are now. A tattoo is heard and another tattoo hears. Sound is a tattoo. Whisper object is a tattoo. Nobody can do anything. Nobody can condition it to arise at all. Whatever arises is conditioned by many, many conditions. Even the eye is conditioned by kamma. Different color, see? Brown, black, blue. How? Who can do that? Who can make it different? No one. But the kamma can. So powerful. Today, we are here, we use the word we. Represent many realities, seeing, hearing, smelling, and tomorrow it can be at other world. And is there world? There is no you, no I here now. So is there any world? At moment when a reality arises, and right understanding as its truth, like it is that which experience and it's that which is experience. No place. Nowhere. So in Pali, the word loka, which the Thai use the word lok, means whatever arises in false way is loka. And the idea of the place comes after. Here is Thailand and the other place is Japan, India. See? But the seeing itself just arise and see and then falls away instantly. Nowhere to go. Extinction immediately, like the fire. When it's gone, never to return at all. What was that a moment ago? Never found again. Gone completely. But ignorance is there. So, only the vipassanayana and the enlightenment can eradicate the idea of self and wrong understanding of the permanency, because it directly experiences that which arises and then falls away, one at a time. But now everything appears at once. How can one experience the arising and falling away of the other one? It's gone completely. So what we like, it means that we like that which is gone, no more. but the succession of the arising and following condition the permanent thing, because it succeeds so very rapidly. That's why it cannot be experienced by ignorance. Only right understanding begins to understand the nature of reality as not self at all, because they are different. Seeing is not hearing, it's not thinking. And no one can do anything. While we are talking, they're seeing. No one makes it arising, but it seems like it's there all the time. That's why there must be the moment of experiencing the arising and the falling. But not one at all. It has to be the nimitta all the time, the succession of just one characteristic, one nimitta. So citta has nimitta of itself, of the seeing, hearing, smelling. Because so many processes of seeing before there can be the idea of someone or something here and now. Because actually a moment cannot be shape and form, but so many moments. Because when you draw a picture, you start with one point. What is that? Snake, house, road? You know, you don't know yet. But when you make it more and more, and the nimitta is there to be known. But actually, it has to be from one moment to another moment. So the illusion of the succession of the realities arising and fall away condition ignorance and takes it. Because when there is nothing arise at all, there cannot be conditioned for attachment because it's not experienced. But when whatever arises, ignorance is there and attachment clinging to that object is there because of the succession of reality hides or conceals the reality that which is not permanent as permanent. No snake, no bird, no fish, no being, because it's only the moment of arising of citta and cittasika and rupa by conditions. So no one can stop the arising and falling away of reality. But how can it not arise again anymore, the end of the arising and falling? It has to be the understanding, the condition for its arising. When we do not understand the condition, we think that I can do. But actually, that is thinking, which arises to think that way and then fall away. So thinking is not seeing. That's why now there is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Uppatti. No one can do anything. It's like accident, but actually it's conditioned by karma. And karma is that which no one can know. At this moment, is it karma? See? Listening to Dhamma, understanding the Dhamma, is it karma? Yes, it's kusala's karma. And it conditioned the moment of birth to have panya, right understanding, with it at moment of birth. Because it is accumulated from this moment on and on and on and on. And the sankhara khanda, the 50 cetasikas, not I, not me, are now working its way. So this moment conditioned the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. So many conditions from eons and eons ago. So we don't know. Even this moment is conditioned by the accumulation of moments ago in samsara. If there is no seeing right now and no sanya cetasika memory, you don't know what's what at all. So at moment of knowing what is what, it's not you, it's that reality which arises with each citta. So each moment is gone completely, never to return. You like something very much, actually you like nothing because it's gone. That which you like is gone. So you cling to the idea of something's there because it keeps on arising and falling away by conditions. Right. Mm-hmm. So this moment is not past moment at all.
Yeah,
just new. New, all the time. And the condition for life is karma. Nobody can know when will the end of it, anytime. And death is not frightened at all, because it's just like when you fall fast asleep. At moment of birth, no one knows. The karma condition it to arise at the right time, just that moment. No one can make it arise. And this is just like that. So at moment of being born, the world does not appear. Like when you are fast asleep, nothing appears. It seems like it's lost completely. Not me, no one. Who am I? No idea at all. But the citta, which arises and falls, experience the same object as patisanti, the moment of birth. So the moment of birth is conditioned by karma. Just one moment is not enough to be the result of a karma. So the karma, it depends on whether it will condition how many years or days or months to be this person. And when it's time, the right time to die, no one knows, because it's like moment of birth and moment of being fast asleep. After the birth consciousness has fallen away, what succeeds is that one which is produced by karma, exactly the same karma, because just one moment of being born is not enough. After being born, there must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, which is not the cause, but is the result of the same karma, which conditioned birth. So we don't know how many moments pass on to be pavanga, keep on, life continuing, until time comes, the right time to hear or to see or to smell. No one knows. It's like when one is fainted and one recognize, what do you call, we don't know what will be the way, seeing or hearing or smell or touch at all. So we don't know what will be next moment, being seeing or thinking or touching, or are conditioned by many conditions. So we talk about the cause, which are the action or the deeds, intention to do. Such intention produce the citta, which is the result, not to the other, but to you, to the moment of thinking, of intending to do, or to have such and such deeds done. When will you die? There must be death, but nobody knows, because it's like at moment of being fast asleep. The moment of birth is not known, and the moment of pavanga, which follows, succeeds the moment of birth instantly, keep on going, life continues. And when it's time for death, it does not perform the function of life continuum of pavanga anymore. It performs the function of just leave this world, no more experience as this person again. And the patisanti follows immediately, succeeds the two citta so close. So when death has gone, the patisanti follows immediately. So when we were born without knowing where we are from last life, and when this life is past life of next life, when next life comes, we don't know what we have done in this life. Sitting here or listen to this, unknown completely. Like when the door closed, you cannot see what is there in the room. And it keeps on being this, because these are realities which nobody can make it arise, and nobody can stop the way it is, arising and falling very, very fast in split seconds. So it seems like permanent world, permanent self, permanent I all the time. But what was past moment? What's there in that past moment? Gone completely. From day to day, from moment to moment, it's only the arising and falling of the tattoo, the element, which no one cannot do anything, because actually there's no self, no one. Only different realities arise together, fall away together, and condition the next moment, all the time. Until no condition for the arising of realities right now anymore. And that is not death, but it's the enlightenment, understanding what conditions is now and at any time, and understanding it as no one at all, permanently, like at moment of experience, the arising of reality right now. At this moment, it seems like so many things arise together, but when it comes to the direct understanding, only one reality is the object. Because citta can experience only one thing at a time. So now many things, seeing many different people, uncountable moment of reality, citta, arise to experience, and the reality which cannot experience is conditioned as well by different conditions. Unknown until Buddha became enlightened and taught the truth to the world. And this is only one life of samsara. What about last life and next life? Unknown. Next life is not this one anymore, not this person. So that can be this person only in this life, short or long, we don't know. But there must be next life, next person, succeed this moment unexpectedly. Maybe in heaven or in hell, we don't know. And the good, wholesome cause condition the good result. What condition different form of the body, the eye, the nose, see? No one knows. But to be born human being is the result of wholesome cause, wholesome karma. Understanding this, it conditioned more kusla in a day. And at moment of kusla, the akusla cannot arise. But in a day, if there is no understanding of kusla and akusla, we don't know what is the right or wholesome cause. For example, who knows that after seeing now has fallen away, the vipaka, the karma, condition the citta which succeeds seeing to be a moment of receiving the same object but not see, even it experience. It does not see. Like when we close one's eyes, we touch, but we do not see. But the same object for the receiving consciousness, which is conditioned by karma, to arise after seeing immediately. The other citta cannot arise by way of anantara paccaya, non-stop. It has to produce another one, succeeded all the time, one by one. And this one is called sampaticcana, the receiving consciousness, receiving the same object which seeing sees. So it seems like seeing is long, but actually it's one moment. Even the other moment experiences the same object, but it does not see. Seeing is just a moment. So how many cittas of seeing? It seems like we see many things at once, but actually it cannot be at the same time at all. And after receiving consciousness, the other one which follows, succeed the receiving consciousness, is investigating consciousness. And another one after this is that which people used to say, that it decide or make decision to be kusala or akusala, but it's not right. The vottapana. But it's not determined at all. It just make way for kusala and akusala, which is accumulated to be kusala or akusala at the right time. See? And what is there after that? 3 moments. How fast it is. Kusala and akusala arise as asava, very, very fed or not strong at all, unknowingly. Because we know akusala when it's strong enough to be recognized as sorrow or the moment when we like or dislike. But actually, there are many moments in between. So we learn about many cittas and cittasikas to know that it's impossible to have just one moment of seeing to appear as it is, because so very, very little and go away very soon. As soon as it arises, it falls away. It seems like that. But no one knows, because only one moment cannot be known. That's why in Tipitaka it says that each reality has nimitta, because of the arising and falling away, just like one dot cannot be known as what, but many, many dots. They are succession, condition the form or the nimitta, the shape and form. And it's not known yet as something, because it's only seeing, it's only receiving, because it's a moment which experiences the object through the eyes. It cannot know the shape and form as something yet. So the nimitta is known. The nimitta of rupa is rupa, and the nimitta of vedana, nimitta of sanya, nimitta of the 5 khandhas are known. One at a time. So we live in the world of nimitta and the world of remembering memory. As soon as we open one's eye, the world of memory is there. This is what is known. Only memory. Not knowing that it's only the reality which arises to remember, to mark the object which is seen, which is nimitta. So with our Paramada Dhamma, there's no nimitta. And when there are Paramada Dhammas, there are nimittas, and the mitta made known as something is panjati. So panjati is the moment when it makes known from